everybody. Gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
The government can.
And who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, 'cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good. Pay for all of their solutions. Healthcare, climate change, pollution. Throw away the Constitution. And who can give a bailout?
Who can give a bailout?
Tell us to behave.
Tell us to behave.
And make the founding fathers roll over in their grave. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can. Government can, 'cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
Oh yeah, they just make it all taste good. Well, it's Tuesday, 20th of June. I'm down to three more days. I'll be in for 3-hour in and out quick surgery. Kind of a pain in the butt. It's ticking me off because I went in there on the 7th to get this colonoscopy done, which is just a clean out. I got the report back and I'm actually in pretty good shape. But they determined that I had this defibrillator or whatever the stupid thing is on my heart, and they couldn't do it in the office. So they have to check me at the hospital to do it for 3 hours. Unbelievable. And the meds or the process I have to go through for that the night before, the day before, is just so grueling. It's a little bit different than the first time I did it, and I'm not looking forward to it. That's how it goes. Hey, how y'all doing? Have a good weekend? Hope so. Mine was more than interesting. Some things began to happen on a Friday night or a Saturday night. And my granddaughter just was coming unglued, decided she wanted to make a trip to California. And a guy that she's known for 3 years, went to school with, et cetera. And just some things. And our daughter happened to be here, and the daughter was going to take her. And I said, no, 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 I don't think so. I said, I'm going. And I just had to make sure that all was well and there was no issues. And so we left here at 1 o'clock in the morning on, was it Sunday morning? Yeah, Sunday morning. And we returned at 2 o'clock in the morning on Monday. What a nightmare. And I slept about 2 hours that entire time. That was it. Well, here we sit, facing the nonsense. Let's see, we've got some people out searching to see the Titanic. Looks like they're never coming back. They lost that ship hours and hours and hours ago. And, oh, they got 70 hours of air left, 40 hours of air. Uh-uh, I don't think they're going to be seen again. I think it's over and done with. Joe Biden went to court today, pled guilty, and got his wrist slapped. And so, and it all has to do with financial stuff and funny business and doing business with foreign people. And once again, Joey Biden gets his butt covered. This is sickening. I am so fed up with the crap going on in this country. I cannot believe it. 28 freaking years on the air, and I swear to God, I am more and more every single day, I'm questioning, why have I bothered? Why have I bothered? It's insane. And then you sit there looking at the financial headlines. They're coming for your bank account. Two trends are converging to end the era of local bank accounts. Central banks conspiring to force us out of traditional savings and checking and into central bank digital currencies. Secondly, deposits are now fleeing local and regional banks because an inverted yield curve makes it impossible for those banks to pay competitive interest rates on deposits. Put it another way, there's a shortage of dollars in the banking system, which is an existential threat for a lot of banks. Now, you combine these two things, the result is a looming bank crisis that creates the perfect pretext for the forced introduction of CBDCs. That's the digital bank currencies. I'm telling you, it's coming. And you're not going to be able to control one single stinking penny you spend. All this is going to begin with more Silicon Valley bank-style failures, leading the government to protect the banks by limiting depositors' ability to pull their money out. And because of this, the massive amount of money being pulled out of the banks right now is sickening. $79+ billion exited U.S. banking systems in 1 week because the deposit flight has resumed. This is the second time this has happened in a matter of weeks. People are once again pulling large amounts of cash out of the U.S. banking system. And according to the newly updated stats compiled by the Federal Reserve Economic Data, or FRED, $79.16 billion exited banks from the start of the month through June the 7th. And deposit flight's a big reversal after 2 weeks of inflows into the system. And in the last year, my friends, $803.7 billion has been drained out of customer accounts. People are just pulling it out left and right. And on top of that, the House GOP panel has released a budget that would destroy Social Security as we know it. That's right. Largest group of House Republicans just released a budget that calls for massive tax cuts for the super rich and raising the Social Security retirement age, a benefit cut for millions of Americans. Yeah, these Republicrats are no better than the demagogues. Panel comprised of three-quarters of the House Republican caucus released a budget proposal last week that would raise the Social Security retirement age, cutting benefits across the board, while further privatizing Medicare, slashing taxes for the rich, a plan that the Democratic lawmakers and progressive advocacy groups said is a clear statement of the Republicans' warped priorities ahead of a critical spending fight this fall. Proposal outlined by the 175-member Republic Rat Study Committee, led by Representative Kevin Hern, would gradually raise Social Security's full retirement age, the age at which people are eligible for full Social Security benefits, to 69, up from the current level of 67 for those born in 1960 or later. Well, it's unbelievable. One more quick little thing, and then we're going to move on with the basis of tonight's program. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is intense. We're not going to do this one tonight. Brer Rabbit's writing again. Why I oppose social service programs. We'll get to that another night, but not tonight. Let's get to it. I think that we're facing a wide range of issues. Recession? Is this merely a calm before the financial storm? Is a recession coming? I would suspect it is. Or is it a depression? Is this the calm before the storm? J.P. Morgan the Pirate, the asset management global head of fixed income, one Bob Michel said that today's economic climate calls to mind the lulls seen in the 2008 financial crisis. Now, Michel, who manages more than $700 billion worth of assets for J.P. Morgan, thinks that the current financial situation is pretty deceptive. In a recent interview, he said that this does remind me an awful lot of the March to June period in 2008. A recession, my friends, had been brewing for much of the year. A recent resurgence in the stock market following climbing interest rates, high-profile bank failures, is being interpreted by some financial experts as a sign that this recession could be just around the corner. Every lovely little corner. The coming months' data could end up showing that we're now in that calm before the storm. Michelle states that I'm highly confident we're going to be in a recession a year from now, and based his time assessment based on a delay caused by the COVID stimulus funds that continue to have some effect, but still feels that there's no question of where we're headed. One reason he feels confident making this prediction is that the Federal Reserve's actions in the last 15 months have been their most aggressive rate increases in four decades. The Fed is also using quantitative tightening. And Michelle says we're currently seeing moves that are normally only seen during or just before recessions. And he also cited that growing unemployment, dropping commodity values, an inverted yield curve, and tightening credit is further signs that an economic slowdown is underway. Michelle believes that regional banks and commercial borrowers will be hit the hardest as the economy unravels. Junk-rated companies that have benefited in the past from low borrowing costs will now have a hard time coming to terms with the new funding environment. And those looking for refinances for their floating-rate loans could well end up being in trouble. And Jeremy Siegel, a retired finance professor at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School, and himself a financial commentator, also expects a recession, although he believes it'll be shallow, particularly in light of pressure in the political season to avoid a deep recession. But that next recession will probably be the last one before the rulers attempt to install their endgame program of digital currencies that will fully control the still voting and naive slaves that continue to have a hard time grasping the reality of the prison planet system we're currently shackled to. Think about these things. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. It is unbelievable. I look at several other associated links that we've added to this particular article. The end game. Central bank digital currency. And another related that bond investors say a recession in the U.S. is inevitable. Do you see? Or do you just have reached the point that you just don't care? These are things that should be of major concern to all of us. How are we going to feed? How are we going to clothe? How are we going to take care of medical expenses? Over the weekend, we began to see that Medicaid is being cut back hugely. Medicaid was expanded to massive amounts of people due to the coronavirus caca. And now they're telling us, oh, but coronavirus is over now, so we don't need to extend those freebies to the public. Except that then I go read another article that talks about a new variation and expansion thereof of coronavirus type stuff. They just keep coming at us in all directions, don't they? And of course, we've got Congress and Joey, who have just expanded federal debt, all of which means more taxes, less growth, weaker real wages. Since 1960, Congress has raised the debt ceiling 78 times. And the process of increasing the debt limit has become so regular that markets barely worry about it. And furthermore, as the 2011 debt ceiling crisis showed, the impact on asset prices happened mostly in emerging economies. In 2011, Turkish and Indian debt were the most negatively impacted, while treasuries rose. Politicians, you see, believe that raising the debt ceiling is a social policy and that debt does not matter. And until it does, the United States debt to gross domestic product, or GDP, is now 123.4%, and the risk of losing confidence on U.S. Treasuries as the lowest risk asset is exceedingly high, in fact. You see, the problem in the United States budget is evident in mandatory and discretionary spending. Focusing all the attention on discretionary spending does not solve the deficit and debt problem. But trying to convince American citizens that the entire debt problem can be solved with higher taxes is, in fact, lying to all of us. You see, mandatory spending is around 63% of the budget. Discretionary spending about 30%, and despite low borrowing costs, net interest already consume 8% of the budget. My problem is the mandatory spending. 63% of the budget? And yet, how much of that 63% is made up stuff? Made up bullshit. We've got to keep funding the Pentagon and their military needs and aspects. We continue to send massive amounts of money to the Ukraine. And Joey and Sonny Boy were very deeply involved with that whole mess. What is it that the public does not understand about the crap going on with the Biden family? No, I'm not sticking up for Trump. That's got nothing to do with it, folks. And you know it. I am amazingly frustrated with so much of the insanity I see going on. United States budget is unsustainable. It is unsustainable, no matter how you want to look at it. Projections for fiscal year 2023 show outlays of $5.9 trillion. And outlays rose after the COVID-19 pandemic. However, instead of bringing them back to pre-pandemic level, expenses have been consolidated. They've been annualized. The U.S. budget had already an expense problem earlier as outlays rose above economic growth. And the same projections, courtesy of the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, estimate that $1 trillion deficit, even after considering a record $4 trillion in revenues. There's no way that this country can cut the budget deficit to zero with higher taxes and revenue measures. It is impossible for this country and our economy to generate a consolidated annual increase in tax receipts of $1 trillion over a cyclical high of $4.9 trillion. And this is only to bring the deficit to zero. It doesn't even begin to address the much-needed net debt reduction. They don't care. Just keep jacking our tax rates up, just making it impossible for people to afford homes. They're finding more and more the middle class can no longer afford to buy a home. And they're going out and renting apartments, three-bedroom apartments, for $2,200 bucks a month. It's insane. Oh, and on top of that, they're still going to have, you know, some of the utility bills. Oh, maybe they get water. But maybe they got to pay electric bills and phone bills and computer bills and all the other nonsense. deficits you see are always a spending problem, because receipts are by nature cyclical and volatile. Spending becomes untouchable. It increases each and every year. I mean, take a look at the cost of food in the last couple of years. What's happened there? It's insane. All because, maybe because of COVID, trucks couldn't deliver. Or maybe because Long Beach shut down and wouldn't deliver. And now they've got similar things going on in Florida. Our gasoline prices out where I've lived have been starting to come down a little bit. I've actually found a Circle K that's lower than almost everyone else, but it's still outrageous. At, $4.39? Oh, but if you go 2 hours down south, down to Tucson, it's in the high threes. Now, how do you figure that? Why is it that in Tucson, less than 2 hours away from where I live, it's some 60 or 70 cents less per gallon than it is up here in the Phoenix area? Doesn't something smell a little funny? And so now we face the neo-Keynesians. And they say that deficits do not matter. Debt is an asset for the rest of the world. But you see, if that were the case, why the obsession with massive tax hikes? Obviously, the idea that deficits and debt do not matter because they're constantly refinanced makes no sense whatsoever. Deficits and debt matter because the confidence in the solvency of the state and its currency is predicated on its ability to manage debt to a level that does not scare off domestic and international investors, which it's doing. Debt is only an asset to others if the solvency of the issuing state is not under question. And so the biggest problem is that the United States' solvency and confidence are under question globally. Central banks are reducing exposure to U.S. Treasuries as a reserve asset precisely because of diminishing confidence in the public accounts, as well as rising concerns about the safety and the strength of government bonds as a safe haven. In 2022, many central banks saw their reserves collapse due to the decline in the value of treasuries. How many of those banks collapsed and closed? And so the entire neo-Keynesian fallacy is based on the idea that the state can always absorb more wealth from the private sector at no cost. And yet that cost is already more than evident, my friends. Inflation is here. It's a direct consequence of years of monetization of government debt. And furthermore, the dangerous cocktail includes high inflation, rising taxes, increasing debt. And there's no improvement in the public accounts, even with record receipts. Inflation is not reducing the overall debt level because the deficit spending rises alongside consumer prices and even higher. And so the world is questioning the United States public finances. And that's why Congress needs to act and rein in on the spending, but they're not going to do it. You see, but if things continue in the direction they're going now, discretionary spending will reach $2.5 trillion in a decade. Many of us will have kicked the bucket by then, and we won't care. But then I've got granddaughters and great-granddaughter on the way. And these people I am concerned about. It's unbelievable. If things continue this way, it's the way government does things. They're going to continue this way. Their idea of discretionary spending is breaking us. And no matter how you cut it, it's still going to be a half a trillion dollar U.S. dollars at the end of the same period if the economy grows without recession or crisis years. And that's a true impossibility. And maybe employment won't suffer. Maybe that's why they're bringing all the illegals up. Get them employed. And what happens to the rest of us? Look, folks, like it or not, whether you like hearing this or not, our nation's budget is completely unsustainable. The problem is elevated and is wasteful spending. If Congress does not work to curb spending, the global confidence on the U.S. debt is likely to slump, and higher monetization will only make things worse because it will destroy confidence in the entire monetary system, starting with the currency. Maintaining these enormous fiscal imbalances will not be solved by raising taxes. It's impossible to add $1 trillion in revenue every year all the time. Furthermore, higher receipts would also lead to governments feeling comfortable in spending even more. I mean, that's what they do. You put more bucks on the table, they find a way to spend it. The gigantic fiscal imbalances of this country are putting the U.S. dollar and the safety of the national debt at risk. There's nothing social about destroying a currency's reserve and a bond's attractiveness for investors. If politicians really give a damn about U.S. citizens and their welfare, they should defend the currency and the solvency of the public accounts. Any other measure will only make the debt-ticking time bomb explode earlier in the face of our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren. No, 2022 is a warning sign that debunked the myth of eternal monetization of debt with low inflation. It is way past time to get serious. Higher debt means more taxes, weaker growth, weaker real wages in the future. High deficit spending is not a tool for growth. Merely a tool for cronyism and a burden on the future. In the words of Ulrich Goldfinger, buy gold, Mr. Bond. Profound. Another way to address the issue we've talked about, because news here in this country has been full of the latest farce, known as raising or not raising the debt ceiling. And after the usual dog and puny show, a budget deal was reached, but was it progress? No, it was a foregone conclusion that the debt ceiling would be raised yet again for the simple mathematical reason that unless the budget is cut via spending cuts or increases in taxes, it can do nothing else. And with the budget deficit projected to be $1.5 trillion, that's a political impossibility. Notice that we use the adjective political. Oh, of course, technically it isn't impossible to balance the budget or even run a surplus, but under the current monetary regime of fiat money that can be produced in any amount at the click of a computer at the Fed, there's no support either in Congress or among the electorate to do so. I guess in a roundabout way, we're all of us are corrupted collectively. As described by German economist Thorsten Polit, since the sky will not fall yet by printing more fiat money, no one can be expected to support real budget cuts, not the military, retirees, Medicare, Medicaid recipients. The list goes on and on and on. The feds will continue to print money to support the rising government debt in nominal terms only until the dollar's purchasing power is destroyed. And that's happening, people. The only way to prevent this catastrophe is to return to sound money. I mean, linking the money stock to a commodity. Almost certainly gold. By linking, I mean that what the people call money, whether in the form of paper certificates or bank accounts or some other form like digital currency, it's got to be backed 100% by a commodity. And that commodity is money. Nothing else. Certificates, bank accounts, or other forms are merely convenient ways to transfer ownership of claims upon the money stock. You know, we didn't really seem to have these kind of problems back when our great-grandparents were alive. Maybe our great-great-grandparents. We had gold that backed our money. We had silver that backed our money. It had real buying power. It's crazy. This is the only way. We've got to stop forgetting. We've got to stop electing or appointing the right people to Congress or the Fed. It's the problem with people in this country is they keep voting the same old tired farts back into office. On and on and on and on again. All of this has been very carefully manipulated. There should have been time restraints on each office, both in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. You've got 2 terms as a president, 8 years max. Gee, maybe we should see the same kind of thing happen in the House and the Senate. As long as any person or entity can print fiat money, it will print fiat money. As long as any person or entity, representatives in the House and the Senate, can continue to vote to print more money. All of this is illogical to support a monetary regime in which printing fiat money is permissible and expect that anyone exists who will refrain from doing so. Therefore, turn off your damn television. Stop reading the business press. The U.S. federal debt's going to continue to grow and grow. Nothing can stop it under this current monetary system or regime, if you will. So is that it? Are we doomed? I'd like to hope that gold will return. Why? For the simple and rational reason that gold and only gold worked historically. For 5,000 years, gold was money and money was gold. Gold allowed complete strangers to engage in productive exchange. Not only complete strangers, but even enemies could engage in productive exchange. You don't like the Russians? Okay. But you don't have to like them in order to buy their natural gas. Cooperative exchange means, per se, that both parties would expect to benefit. I mean, for all I know, my local hardware store owner might be an Atlanta Braves fan. Which is about as low as it gets for a Philadelphia Phillies fan. But not that I care, because I pay no attention to stupid baseball or sports or basketball or the freaking Dodgers, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who decided to put on a special Pride Day game. And nobody showed up at the game. The stadium was damn near empty. But throughout all of this, we appreciate the convenience, the quality of people's stores, products, and services that we may not agree with, their politics. None of this is a frivolous matter. Gold would allow everyone to benefit from a worldwide division of labor that requires no vetting of personal or political views or affiliation. In other words, gold would lead us to a world of peace and prosperity. But the era of fiat money and dollar hegemony is coming to an end. Russia, China, India, the Arab nations, South Africa, Brazil, and others. We'll just call them the East. They're soon going to be settling their international trade in gold. And why? Because historically it's worked. And it'll work again. And then the Western fiat monetary nations, led by this country, will watch us one by one, former allies, start jumping ship. which does not mean they're willing to be dominated by Russia or China, for example, only that the real prosperity is dependent upon honest money, gold. And the dollar will be thrown on the ash heap of history, just like the French assigned it. The Confederate dollars, the German Papier Mark, and more recently, the Zimbabwean dollar. Of course, real statesmen, especially America, would understand this. They would begin preparing their nations for this immense change in which military power would become irrelevant. Real statesmen? We don't have real statesmen in this country. We have a frickin' joke. I would be willing to bet you that if the names of every senator and every representative in the U.S. House of Representatives, if their names were put before me, I would be willing to bet that I would not find a dozen people collectively that I would have any desire to reelect into office. It's a joke. A total freaking joke. But maybe it's time for some humility. I mean, it never hurts to remind ourselves that the world is a very big place and America is just one small part of it. We must learn to be good citizens of the world, honest in our commercial affairs, friendly, respectful towards all, and meddle in the internal affairs of no one. For a nation that has arrogantly assumed that it's so damn special, this will be a very hard pill to swallow. American military power and the dollar as the world's premier reserve currency have created a hubris that is evident in many areas. And preposterously, we claim the power and authority to change the weather and the Earth's temperature, to control the health outcomes for billions of people through international vaccine mandates, and the ability and maybe authority to change a person's biological sex. And the list goes on and on. Oh, change a person's biological sex? Ah, then you can go out and get some Bud Light. Maybe it's Butt Light. Oh, never mind. I think it's time for a return to humility and honesty and, above all, freedom of the individual to live his or her life as he and only he or she sees fit. And what are your thoughts? Will it happen? I don't know. Not anymore. It's all insane. Absolutely insane. Over at Sierra Madre Precious Metals, and I will tell you, I woke this morning and did not want to get up. I had to get up. I had to go to the post office to ship some silver. I had to drop off a package to my dental gal. And I only had some headlines posted, which I think I maybe got around to doing last night. I'm burnt out. And as I began to go through some of those headlines, I had been drawn to several different articles and decided to post them in their entirety. And that is what this first 40-odd minutes, nearly 40 minutes of this program has been about tonight. Sharing these thought-provoking, I hope thought-provoking, commentaries to you. Talking about recession, the calm before the financial storm. More federal debt means more taxes, less growth, weaker real wages. Sound money is required for real budget discipline. That's the piece we just finished sharing with you. All three of those entire exceedingly well-written comments you can get at SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and read them. We also have some of the headline introductions that we share with you early on in the hour today. Coming for your bank account. nearly $80 billion exiting U.S. banking systems, or trillion, whatever the heck it is. I think it's trillion. House GOP panel releases budget that would destroy Social Security as we know it. How many of you out there rely on the Social Security? And they keep wanting to jerk us around. I look at the first couple of paragraphs of a piece written by Neil Ross. It's exceptionally rare that I post much of Neil's stuff anymore, not because it's bad, because it's so over the heads of the average reader. And they're so lengthy. And yet he posted something to me yesterday that was so intriguing that I made a decision to go ahead and at least post it under the headlines at Sierra Madre. It's entitled, Why I Oppose Social Service Programs. Governments supposed to serve the people, is it not? Some people call those in government politicians, which is a term I despise, Neil says. I see a politician as a person who uses the power that government gives them to make deals that benefit themselves, or to benefit a specific class or a segment of the citizenry, people who are highly skilled at making deals and whose values and beliefs shift according to political expediency. As Neil says, as you can see, I do not hold politicians in very high esteem. One step up from politicians are elected officials. I do not really care for that term that much either, although I prefer it over the term politician. The reason I do not like that term much is due to the use of the word official, as that implies or hints at a position of authority and superiority. But sadly, these crooks see themselves the same way. They believe that they are superior to us, more intelligent than us, more capable of making decisions over how we should live our lives than us. Elected officials think that because they've been endowed with positions of authority, we should surrender our liberty and free will over to them. And the sad thing is, most Americans willingly do so, obeying laws that deprive them of their creator-given rights and liberty. I strongly urge you to read that very lengthy and intense piece by Neil Ross. You'll find it at Sierra Madre Precious Metals. Scroll down tonight under the heading Double Eagle Headlines, June 20th, 2023. Scroll down to the last article entry in there. It's entitled, Why I Oppose Social Service Programs. Oh, yeah, it's lengthy. But Neil has this tendency of hitting the nail on the head. Maybe, who knows? Maybe tomorrow, if I get angry enough, maybe I won't even address health-related issues tomorrow. Maybe we'll address other issues tomorrow. But this is profound. It's designed to make you think. Think. And that is so damned necessary. You know, Neil's been writing since 2008. At the time, I had a lot of his stuff published. A lot of his stuff was shorter, but as he's grown and educated and read and studied and learned more and more and more, he's been become an unbelievable writer. Sometimes I wish he'd break some of his pieces into two and three parters because it's that lengthy. 2008. It's now 2023. That's a long time. A very long time. All right, let's take a real fast peek at one more thing, and then we're going to move forward and bring this program to a bit of a close. One of the issues that we've dealt with because there is a greater and greater demand for gold, for silver. The cost has continued to go up. Interesting. In the last hour and a half, I've seen silver has also gone up. How much? No, we're okay. We're okay. Spot gold today, 1941.05. Still down about 60 bucks, 60, 70 bucks over its high of last month. Silver is sitting at about 23 and a quarter an ounce. But you can't buy it at that. I can't buy it at that. Okay? You can get online. You can go to this company over here, that one over there. Some have got lower prices. Some are going to make you wait 5 or 6 weeks to get your goods. I'm not going to do that. Too much can happen in 4 or 5 or 6 weeks or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever the case may be. I took an order from a listener last week. Her funds were wired in on Friday. I think maybe Thursday. They were instantly available. I wired them back out to my people who were closed yesterday for Juneteenth. What a joke. Another bogus holiday that Joey signed into habitual law. Just a joke. I'm not going to talk about gold today. It is available. I can get 1 ounce bars. I can get coins. We can get the breakable bars. Our client ordered some breakable bars and some 1 ounce gold coins, and all of it shipped today. Yeah, they got the funds in on Friday morning. They were closed yesterday for Juneteenth. And I got notification their stuff shipped out this morning. Here's what's going on. I have a local guy that, yes, theoretically, I have to go to him, and I do have to pay slightly higher price than I would have to pay for at my my regular supplier. But my regular supplier doesn't have product to ship. He's talking to me about July. No. Late July. I'm not going to wait 4 or 5 weeks, because what happens if something goes on? You've paid your money out. Yeah, they're going to have to send it back to me, and I'm going to have to refund it to you. I'm not playing that game. I want the goods out of here as fast as I can. The client ordered some gold. She ordered some silver. I went across town, picked up the silver. It shipped out today. A post office closed yesterday, too. So here's what's going on. I can ship up to 4 rolls at $594.40 delivered. That's per roll. 5 rolls plus, your price is going to drop to $578. That's not a huge drop. But once again, all of that includes delivery. A 5-roll package at $2,890. You want a single roll of silver, $594.40, delivered. Now, you determine that you want 2 rolls. The price is not going to double to $594.40. No, it'll only jump to $584. First roll, $594.40. Second, third, and fourth rolls will drop $10 a roll at $584 even. That's shipped, delivered in your hands. 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You want to call tonight, get it on. I won't be able to place the order tomorrow until tomorrow, but if the price drops, I'll drop your price. But if spot goes up, I'll eat it. But you got to take advantage of it if you're wanting silver. If you want to talk gold, give me a call. We'll talk. We'll try to get an idea of the kind of money you're interested in converting into gold. Don't wait for the government to do it, because you'll be sitting there with your head up your assets waiting. You don't want to do that. Get yourself prepared if you can afford to do it. Don't shortchange yourself. Some of you folks got medical issues. You've got to get food on the table. Don't shortchange yourself. But if you've been looking to add some gold and some silver to your holdings, give me a call. I'm Jeff Bennett. You find me at Kettle Moraine LTD. Kettle Moraine Limited, that's my corporate heading. Sierra Madre Precious Metals is nothing but a website. It's a website that is owned and controlled by Kettle Moraine. I'm it. Same thing with Federal Observer, Metropolis.cafe, and DrKelly.net. I'm the guy that feeds them all. I have no one assisting me. I miss the days when Louis was working with me. Louis had some major health problems. I thought for 2 years he was dead. And then all of a sudden one day I get an email. We stay in touch, but he's not doing the kind of work he once did. He can't physically. So, we've got a lot said tonight. I don't know what title I'm going to place on this program tonight. I think I just found the title. I'm going to short it. I'm going to short it. I'm typing, so that's why I'm shut up all of a sudden. Anyway, I hope that you've been able to get some benefit out of this program tonight. Some things to think about. And that is what's so important in this life, is not some things to think about, but much to think about. Don't wait for our government to make a change. Don't wait for our government to realize that they've screwed us up and that they're going to make changes to clear all of that up. It ain't going to happen, folks. No more. It's not going to happen. It is pure insanity what they've done to we the people, and them our children, and them our grandchildren, etc., etc., etc. They don't care. Every action every one of those people does, or the majority of those people does, all has to do with their ability to get another vote. Get reelected, stay there. To keep getting supported by the medical community. We talked about that whole medical community mess last week. And if I'm not mistaken, that was a combination of programming for both Tuesday and Wednesday of last week. If you did not hear them, even though the sound quality for last Tuesday was not great, go back and listen to the archives of those two programs. They made some profound statements as relates to the healthcare industry. Big pharma. Yeah, big fart goes more like it. I hear the music running. You guys take care of yourselves. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow. My diet changes for the next 3 days tomorrow. Could be pure hell. Take care. Without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past. Hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses,
The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do you think we have time? Do you think we have time? These are the days of the empty hand. Oh, we hold on to what you can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year, yeah, yeah. This is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, 'cause nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to hope, there is no hope to speak out. Skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.